Which side are you on? Which side are you on? Trump's coming for our unions. He wants us all to fail. He wants us to bow to him, but we want him in jail. Oh, which side are you on?
It's the news, according to me. Oh, my word. It's the next greatest. It's the greatest hit. Sweep the nation. It's the hysterical, unhinged Democrats cursing and singing, making up weird songs. Yeah, we have... there's a lot of weird things going on in the world today, but So all these people who are complaining, there's another example. This is just this one lady. There's a whole example of these three different congresswomen saying F Trump. Apparently that was the theme of the day. And this one lady who never cusses, but she said it too. She says she never cusses, and then she did that. Because it's the thing, because they told her to. It's, you have to fall in line with the, you know, it has to be lockstep. Which, by the way, that's what fascism is. If you have to be a part of the movement or you get kicked out. For, you know, prime example is Robert F. Kennedy Jr., as Democrat can be, in terms of the party. And he's rejected. He was taking more flack from Democrats during his hearing. All he wants to do is go after chemicals in our food, make sure that medicines are safe for us. He has a passion for this kind of stuff. And they hate him. Call him a psycho, wacko, anti-vaxxer, which he's not. Part of the Trump regime now. Elon Musk, who was the star child of, you know, he gave to Democrat political parties. They were happy to have him on their side. Until he wasn't. Which side are you on? Well, I'm on the side of chai in my cup. I have the it's good stuff. It's the creamy chai with cinnamon creamer. And I also have, yesterday I broke down and made some homemade sweet tea. It's not peach tea. I'm going to do that. The next gallon will be peach tea. I'm going to be buying peaches somewhere. I got to find peaches, fresh peaches somewhere. I'll fly to Mexico if I have to pick up some fresh peaches. Probably illegal to do that, but I'll find them somewhere. There got to be some somewhere in this country that I can get on a plane and get back here with, and I will make fresh peach sweet tea before the end of my 2 weeks of. Being around home is over, which won't be much longer. It's already half over, it seemed like. And of course, I have to pick the coldest 2 weeks of the year to be home, which means I'm not going to get anything done outside. I'm going to be doing some things inside if I can, because the problem here is that now, you know, I have dogs. And there's also a honeydew list. I have to make sure I... Yeah, so there's weird stuff. Now I've talked about this all week, and I hate to keep beating this horse. That's, you know, it's a dead horse. When you stop and think about it, how did the horse die? Did the horse die from a beating, and you just kept beating him? Is that what's going on here? Where'd that saying come from? well, the horse is dead. I'm going to start beating him because he's not moving. I start beating him. That'll fix it. To all of my friends out there, and I put friends in quotation marks, who are so opposed to this whole Doge audit thing that's going on, who are, frankly, they're spreading a lot of, today's, by the way, today's topic, today's little theme is going to be about disinformation and misinformation. I talk about a few people and a few things and stuff that happens on the internet and other places. I mean, just over the course of time in the history of disinformation and misinformation. It's actually quite broad and goes quite deep. And I'm not going to get into any, you know, serious details except for a few drill down situations. So it's not going to be an in-depth documentary on disinformation. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. And I'm also not a documentarist. I've done a few voiceovers for documentaries, by the way. So if you're doing a documentary and you need a voiceover, I can send you some samples of my work. And then you can, this is a shameless plug for my voiceover work. And I don't sound like this on a voiceover, by the way. I do those commercials. I do some commercials where they talk about the side effects to drugs. And then later on, I do commercials for the lawyers that sue people for taking the drugs, sue the drug companies. Yeah, it's interesting. I actually don't do that. I do the drug commercials, though. I do those. Sublifity, where do they come up with these names? Sublifity, I'm just making stuff up now, may cause hemorrhoids. It may cause all these things to happen to you. It's explosive diarrhea, but whatever it is, this guy dancing around, having fun, you know, on the screen while they're saying all this stuff, and it's, don't take it. Don't take sclerblifity. If you're allergic to sclerblifity, how do you know if you're allergic to it unless you take it? If you take it and you puff up like a blowfish, then you might not want to take it anymore. Great idea, bub. That's brilliant. That's the science right there. That's a good chai. We have, I'll get into the disinformation thing a little bit later, but, and that's opposed to misinformation, is disinformation. It's sometimes disguised as misinformation. So I'm from my friends out there in the social media world who are these social justice warriors who all of a sudden have taken it upon themselves to every post they make to make it about the Doge stuff and everything that they're doing and all the mistakes that they're making, supposedly. There's this one thing called COBOL, which is a coding system, COBOL. I think it's COBOL. COBOL. I said that too fast for you. We'll talk about this a little bit because there's a bunch of people posting this meme about the age of some people on Social Security. Now, first of all, the COVID relief. Let's just look at that in and of itself right now. COVID relief, it was determined that there was about $130 billion with a B, dollars worth of fraud, fraudulent claims during the COVID drunken spending spree that the government decided to step in and save us all from ourselves. Well, we're gonna have to shelter in place. Shelter in place. In other words, it was home arrest is what it was. Lock yourself up in your house. Can't go outside, which is where the virus can't survive. The virus spreads inside the home, and people have to actually go out and buy food and do things and then go back into their home where it has a chance to spread. Yeah, keep it in the dark. Keep it out of the sunlight. a person, this how ridiculous this is, a person out in the water on a sailboard, sail surfing, gets arrested. The police go after him, stop him, because he's not supposed to be out there. He's supposed to be in his home, sheltering in place. He's breaking the law by being outside on the ocean on a surfboard by himself. And amazingly, without a mask on. This is how hysterical people got. First of all, who's the cop that's dumb enough to go along with this? I would tell, if you were in front of my face right now, I would tell you that was really dumb. You realize how stupid that was for you to obey that order to go after that guy. You'd have been better off saying, no, I'm not doing it. You can fire me. Goodbye. I don't need this job. That's see, people get so wrapped up in their careers sometimes. I've actually told my employer, I've walked off from employers before for doing things I didn't agree with, just walked off. And I would do it again. And sometimes it's painful. Sometimes it is. I am my own union. That's what it is. If I want to go on strike, I'm going on strike. It's just this is the way it's going to be. I don't have to have a bunch of other people go along with me. I'm not a lemming. If I don't agree with the principles of your work ethic, and I can't live with that, I can't be a part of it. Then I can't be a part of it. I'm not going to be a part of it. I'm going to walk away.
Well, you must be nice to be in a financial situation.
I wasn't in a financial situation to do that. I am now. I could walk away from my employer right now, and I enjoy the paycheck every 2 weeks. Not every 2 weeks, but twice a month. It's actually not every 2 weeks. Twice a month. But I have, I'm sure I like it. I like the job. I like the work I do. That's why I'm doing it. I'm not doing it because I have to. I'm doing it because I need, because I like to. It's nice to be in that kind of a situation where I can do that kind of work. It's more of a calling that I'm fulfilling. But I also wouldn't hesitate to just say, you know what? I'm renting a car and going home. I'm done. I don't care where I am in the country or in the world. I will just go home if this is the way. If they treat me wrong, or if they treat somebody else wrong, or if they do something that I just can't go along with. By the way, my backup cup here this morning. Oh, I think as I already said, is homemade sweet tea. I don't know if I said that or not. I guess I did. Because I said something about making peach tea for, yeah. I'll never mind then. Anyway, that's my little soapbox about the work ethic and the stand up for yourself a little bit once in a while, you know? Work is work, and it's never, you know, it's not everybody. Not everybody wants to go to work every day. I get it. Sometimes the grind is, you know, that's different. That's just self-discipline. Getting frustrated with your work, getting frustrated with the job. You know, you can build a case, especially if you're around other people who are complaining. You can build a case that your job stinks and it's terrible and they're treating you poorly. Even though they're treating you better than when you first got hired, and they're paying you more and their work conditions are better and you've got seniority. And you can still start complaining and thinking it's worse, but because you forget where you were. And you agreed to that when you started there, but all of a sudden now it's not good enough for you. That happens a lot, folks. Familiarity breeds contempt. But that's one thing. It's a whole other thing when they start doing something that's unethical. Or it's just unprofessional and just, you know, beyond your standards. It's just whatever. You have to make those decisions for yourself. I'm not a job counselor. Anyway, the Democrats. Now let's look at this. What's going on here? They're out there with these rallies. they're Congress people. They're still out there doing this whole thing with, and they're trying to file these temporary restraining orders, TROs. And I guess this one judge got struck down by Judge Kenneth, no less. These are judges that were after Trump initially. They actually had to step in and strike some of this stuff down because they're realizing that state attorneys generals can't come in and make federal law. Surprise, surprise. They can't usurp the presidential powers. They can't just step in and do that. They're not federal judges. They're state attorneys generals trying to do this kind of stuff. In fact, they're under the gun. They're under the, I should say, the microscope. Because of the things that they have done, that illegal acts that they have done, and their collusion and their... Okay, speaking of collusion, there was just recently a congressman who came out and said, we're about to see Trump-Russia 2.0. There's more than enough evidence to show that Trump is in collusion with Russia. And it was never followed through with in the first round. This is going to be the second round. And we're going to... Are you kidding me? You literally have nothing else in your playbook but what you've done before, and you're just going to go over it again, and you think that the American people are going to be okay with that. The Democrat Party, and this is very true, what Scott Jennings said about the Democrats taking the 20% of every issue. If Trump says something that's on the 80% of the people, American people agree with something, the Democrats just step in and take the 20%. The other side of whatever issue it is. And I want to make this case with what's going on with the whole DOGE thing and Social Security and veterans benefits and everything else that they're saying. Right now they're saying, Letitia James came out and said that Trump is shutting off veterans benefits and Social Security checks. There was recently a pastor, I played the audio. And he said something about violence. He was saying about sometimes we have to get violent if they're coming after your Social Security check. It's time to get violent. This is a pastor from a pulpit calling for violence. If you don't get your Social Security check, it's time to get violent. That's what he's saying. If you don't get your government entitlement, it's time to get violent. Who are you going to get violent with? You're going to get violent with your fellow man. You're not pushing back legislatively. You're not pushing back figuratively, you are going to get violent and people are going to get hurt, physically hurt, because you didn't get your check. You're going to get violent because of that. Think about that for a moment. And think about the words of Jesus and how you should treat your enemies. He's talking about personal relationships. And this pastor has the audacity to say that. Because it's not the government, it's not some institution that's going to get hurt with violence. It's people who are going to get hurt with violence. During the whole George Floyd thing, a lot of innocent people got hurt, killed. There were police officers killed during the George Floyd riots. A lot of government property was damaged. Property that the taxpayers have to replace and pay for. But that's okay because, you know, George Floyd, the saint that he is. And all those protests, of course, solved the problem. Now we don't have the problem anymore because we protested. We can protest for years, and that will solve the problem. That will push back on all these issues. If the whole country just starts protesting, which is just nothing more than a giant psychotic virtue signal, virtue parade. Look at me, I'm fighting for social justice. I'm pushing back. I'm breaking windows on people's businesses. Oh, they're black community businesses, but that's okay. Some of them are black businesses, black-owned businesses. That's okay. And yes, my dogs are barking again. So I asked my friends, those of you who are out there that probably don't listen to this show, because you wouldn't be listening to this show very long if some things I, you just, yeah. My people, some of the people I see in my feed on social media posting these copy and paste memes that they don't do any research on. They just copy and paste. They read it, copy and paste it. They don't know if it's true or not. They just do it. Don't ask any questions. Don't do any research. Just copy and paste it. $130 billion of fraud during the COVID outpouring of relief funds. $130 billion in fraud, which, by the way, in just a few weeks, I think about a month and a half, the statute of limitations will start going into effect on some of the early ones. They started doing the fraud on this stuff. Now, the fraud entails people who were actually employed, who took unemployment, or who had side jobs, who did whatever they did. Somehow they defrauded up to all the other government business programs, everything else that was out there. Some people went out and got an LLC right away and determined that they were a business that was losing money, and they all kinds of things happened like this. There was just or they had an LLC that was already in place and they wasn't doing anything with it, but they decided they were going to file for their whatever it was, their 999 forms, or what I can't remember what they called it. It was a 666 form. I don't know what it was. Some kind of financial aid form for businesses, and they were getting all kinds of TTT loans or whatever. What are they called them? I don't know. I don't remember what all this stuff was. I didn't take any of that. And I could have. I had a business that was actually not necessarily suffering because of it, but it definitely, the dynamics definitely changed on my business that I had at that time. I was also employed at that time. I have a business and I was also employed. And I took a voluntary furlough. Now, taking voluntary furlough, I didn't consider myself eligible for unemployment during that time. Because I wasn't laid off. I volunteered to take off. So I didn't apply for unemployment, which would have been more lucrative to do so. But I decided not to. So because of the dynamics of my job, it was more important for me. In fact, the person whose job I saved by taking voluntary furlough thanked me later. He did the calculations and he determined that I was the guy who saved his, because he was the next guy that was supposed to be furloughed, and I was the determining factor for him to keep his job, and he was very grateful for that. Because of the nature of that business, he needed to be working to further his career and keep it moving. He couldn't just take time off and take the money and wait till later. He was getting married. All this stuff was happening in his life. He had to keep working. So the ridiculousness now. These people who are out there with all this fraud going on, my question to you, I guess, for those of you, of course, I'm not asking my audience because unless you somehow happen to be listening to this, are you telling me that you're going to believe, like Barack Obama said, there's not one smidgen of corruption in the IRS. There's not one smidgen of corruption in the Social Security agency or in the Veterans Benefits Agency. You're telling me there's not one smidgen. So answer the question. Is there any fraud in the Social Security system? Is there any fraud there? If you say no, there's nothing. There's nothing to see here. There's no fraud whatsoever. Nobody's committing any fraud in the Social Security system. It's impossible. Well, then you need to go to a little rubber room somewhere, because that's Okay, now if you say that there is, well, there is, there probably is, but it's just minuscule. Well, how much is acceptable? How much is enough? And what does that do when someone takes Social Security benefits who doesn't rightfully have a right to them? Someone who's defrauding the Social Security system. What does that do to the next person who's paying in? In fact, you're paying in. What does that do? What does it do for you? The fact that you're still of working age, and now when it comes around to Social Security and you don't have any, and you cry foul, oh, no, I don't have any. No, all of a sudden Social Security's gone bankrupt. By the way, it doesn't work that way, really, but it can become a mess. My wife is supposed to be taking care of the dogs. I'm not sure what's going on up there. Apparently, we have one that's a little bit out of control. So, yeah. It's a 10-month-old puppy. So the $130 billion in fraud that was, delved out in all this, the frenzy that there was that the government was going to save us because the politicians are fear for their jobs, because they're fear for their lives, because they know that if they don't provide some kind of support for the American people, telling them not to stop working and then telling them their job's unessential, they have nothing else to do. So you have to placate them with some kind of a check. So all this was going on during the COVID hysteria. The government was somehow going to supply all of our needs. And of course, that's when they started coming out with this. Oh, well, if we can do it now, we can do it all. We can always do it. Just provide basic income, a basic level income for everyone. Government can do that. Well, no, it can't. It's not sustainable. It's a trap is what it is. It's a twap. Once you cross that line, now you are in a situation of socialist, I would say more, it's more akin to communism, which is, socialism is the slippery slope that leads to communism, by the way. And it's a hybrid communism. It's not the kind of communism we think of when you think of a pure communist society. The church originally became a communal living situation. No one called anything their own. Everyone gave to the church. The church is this kind of a utopia of, but the problem is men, you know, when I say men, I mean men and women, not just men. If women were running it, it wouldn't have been any better. Trust me on that one. People are corrupt. Corruption starts to creep in. We're never going to get away from that on this earth. It became an institution, and of course it became corrupt. From everything from confessional, where the priest goes, you go into the little booth and confess your sins to the priest. And, my sins are, I'd like to strangle my dog right now. That's part of, that becomes manipulative. You have insider information about these people. They come and confess their sins, and the next thing you know, hey, I'm going to tell everybody about this if you don't start giving to the church a little bit more. And the point is, people are corrupt. Institutions can become corrupt because people who are in charge of them become corrupt. And usually, it happens incrementally. It happens slowly. People don't. It's like, it's the old boil the frog in the pot thing, which I'm not sure that's actually a thing, but the whole example of things happen slowly over time, and you get seduced by incrementalism, which is what progressivism is actually. It's in its name. You progressively, the progressives have a 100-year plan that started in the early 1900s, and here we are in the early 2000s, and their plan is, they're fighting it pretty, we've kicked back a little bit against their 100-year plan, but the whole idea of the 100-year plan wasn't necessarily 100 years to the day, it was a future, they were looking to the future, to progressively move more and more towards, and the way they do that, I've talked about it on the show before, They want to compromise. They want to come to the middle. And then they just keep moving further left, and they want to compromise again and move to the level, to the middle. We're giving up ground. See, once you've attained, once you've achieved liberty, nothing further can happen except for that liberty being taken away. You can't get more liberty when you've been granted liberty, you know, nearly 100% liberty. There's no place to go but backwards from there. That's you progress. Where are you progressing to? You're progressing to a socialist / communist society. Their means of getting there becomes everything from Marxism to Leninism to Stalinism. The whole thing. If I was going to argue a particular philosophy, I would say Marxism is kind of the mode of operandi. Everything is justified by the means to the end. The means justifies the ends. The ends justify the means. I need some chai. The end justifies the means. The end product, they will do anything. By any means possible, they will do what they need to do to justify the end. They're all justified by the end goal. We've achieved it. We've achieved equality. We've achieved equity. We've achieved this social utopian society. We don't. If we had to kill 20 million people to get there, we've achieved it. Though it doesn't matter. The end justified all those killings. Justified all those things that we did to people. All the lies we told. Everything else that because we created a utopian society. And now government is our church. Government is our supplier. Government is our king. And we happen to be in charge of government. And that's why we're going to... That's where he becomes an oligarch. It's this whole thing of this... The left and the right both accuse each other of this oligarchy thing. The oligarchy is just whoever's in charge at the time that they happens to be... that the swing of power happens. They want to be the ones in charge. They want to be the ones that usher it in. And frankly, I don't think they realize how manipulated they are. I don't think that they realize. There are some of these people who actually believe that they are actually doing people good. I don't think they're waking up every day saying, I'm going to be evil. These people are just pawns. And they have no idea. Because they don't stop and think. They have no introspective at all. They have no... self-awareness, they have no understanding, and they have no self-awareness of their own party and their own beliefs. They never stop for a moment. They just react. They're very reactive and very emotional. There's no logic. They're just all screaming and yelling and very emotional. That's what motivates them. They're emotive. They're emojis. They're all emojis. The interesting thing about all this is, okay, so let's say we have fraud in the Social Security Department. So my friends out there, there was fraud in the COVID relief. The question I have for you is, how do you propose that we solve the issues with fraud, waste, overspending in the government? And don't tell me there isn't any. Everyone will admit there's all kinds of scams out there that take money from the government. They're taking your money. All these programs out there that we could be funding for good things, supposedly good things, is not happening because it's being fraudulently taken. And folks, there are fraudulent programs out there that are being funded that aren't even... So you're okay with all that? How do you propose we solve this problem? There's no solution on their side. Even Schumer recently came out and said, everyone knows there's probably government fraud, government waste that needs to be cut. But we're taking a hatchet to it. We'll fix it later. There's no time to take a scalpel to this stuff. Shut it all down and we'll build it back up again. It's just the whole thing. You have to realize they don't understand the gravity of the situation here. They're fiddling around while Rome is burning, and it just and all the while, it's all about Orange Man Bad. The stage five, I think, what's her name? I can't think of her name right now. Just listening to her this morning. Who was the president's chief of staff at one point? It was Kellyanne Conway. Kellyanne Conway recently, of course, her ex-husband, I should say, has gone off the deep end. Kellyanne said it best. I think she said they have stage five Trump derangement syndrome. They are so motivated by their hatred towards this man that they are willing to be blindly they've lost all sense of reason, all sense of logic over their hatred towards Donald Trump. It's all about Donald Trump and, oh my God, we got to stop Donald Trump, Orange Man Bad. Anything the man says, we have to do the opposite. You know how many people probably died because of their hatred for Donald Trump during the COVID thing when he came out and just happened to mention that ivermectin. There's the latest studies now, by the way, these are groundbreaking, peer-reviewed stuff. It's not making the headlines on the news, and it's not making it into the medical journals in the hospitals, I guarantee you. These are people who've done actual studies on this whole thing. First of all, masks did nothing to stop or slow the spread. Well, how do you know that? Because it didn't do anything. It just, the best studies, the very best study, which was very questionable in their techniques, if you look into it, and I'm just going by what I've been told by virologists that have been interviewed since then, because they're not being censored anymore. I should say canceled. Censored is one thing. They're not being canceled anymore. But they've come out and said the best studies that they have, some of them actually showed that wearing a mask worsened things. It was all within a reasonable amount of error. So that basically it was zero. But by golly, if you weren't wearing a mask out in public, you had people screaming at you. They were calling you a murderer. You'd have thought you were the worst person on the planet. It was just because you weren't wearing a mask. You're killing us all. Well, you're wearing a mask. This is where a lot of people that were, I would say, leaning left kind of woke up during this whole time. Is it JP, comedian guy? He actually came out with this thing about life jackets. Well, you need to wear a life jacket so that you can protect me. Well, I'm already wearing a life jacket. Doesn't your life jacket work? Yeah, my life jacket works, but life jacket doesn't work unless you're wearing a life jacket. But the whole thing is, he associates the whole thing. He doesn't say anything about masks. He doesn't say anything about COVID. All he talks about is this life jacket thing. It's a little parody on the whole thing, and it was brilliant. And it just shows the ridiculous sense of logic that there is about this whole thing. And of course, Anthony Fauci came out. First of all, Anthony Fauci, no one needs to be out running around wearing masks. That's just going to be doing it. Nobody needs to be wearing a mask right now. And oh, how he switched when the narrative turned into, yes, everyone should be wearing a mask. And then it became a second mask. And he was like, well, you know, what's another layer? You know, obviously, another layer could be protective. There is some studies that have been done. Let's say if you wear that mask for more than 10 minutes, the type of mask that people, the little medical mask. I'm not just talking about the cloth mask, not just the cotton mask, the little medical masks that we're all familiar with, little bluish, aqua-colored green ones, whatever. Wearing one of those for more than 10 minutes begins to aerosol your breath. In other words, moisture condensates inside the mask, and then it becomes aerosol. It becomes vaporized. Vapor can contain the virus. Bacteria, by the way, is much larger than a virus. The virus can live inside water vapor, and the mask actually vaporizes your breath or any kind of spittle that comes out of your mouth. It accumulates in the mask, and then it becomes more. Just your regular exhaling from your lungs, there's a certain level of water vapor that comes out of your lungs. Just the act of breathing itself will dehydrate yourself. There's perspiration, and there's also, but then act of breathing. That's why when you breathe out on a really cold day like this morning when it's 10 degrees outside Fahrenheit, so like a negative 10 or whatever it is, negative 15, 12, whatever Celsius. When you breathe out, you can see that it looks like steam coming out of your mouth. You can't see any spit that coming out of your mouth. You can't see but you can see the water vapor. It's freezing. It's condensing. So it's actually exacerbating the problem. It's making it worse. And so you're really not stopping the spread. There's probably an argument that would say if you're talking and doing a lot of things and you get your mask on and you're spitting all over the place, and that of course the virus can be in your spit, and of course that lands on things, lands on surfaces. But if you're in an elevator and everybody's wearing a mask, I'm sorry, but you're breathing everybody's breathing each other's air. And as long as you're breathing somebody else's air that's come out of their lungs, it's got the virus in it. That doesn't stop the virus. Doesn't filter out the moisture. That's my point. And the hysteria over this thing, and it didn't matter what side of the aisle you were on. Everybody, I saw people who were, I would consider Republican, conservative people posting stuff on social media about, I wear my mask to protect others because I care about my neighborhood. I care about grandma. They were the ones we should have been protecting. Anybody over 50 years old should have been getting protected. Now, my nephew wasn't even 50 years old. He got it when he ended up in the hospital. He was on a respirator for over 3 weeks. He finally passed. Now, this gets to another part of the science of this whole thing. I didn't mean to go down this rabbit hole. Dr. John Campbell, who was initially was very pro-vaccine, very, very much just a guy who just started doing the statistics on everything. He's a doctor. He's been he was actually a nursing instructor in Europe for a long time. But he, older guy, just kind of semi-retired, and he's been basically just out there, has this YouTube channel. He just started reporting on the facts, on all the statistics, on everything that was happening, breaking down the numbers. Very good, very analytical, very solid base stuff. Of course, he started noticing some discrepancies in some of the numbers and wondering why they were the way they were. He's a very good mathematician, British guy. And he started just globally looking at what was happening with the pandemic and started realizing that we're being lied to about some things here. There's some things that aren't adding up properly. And of course, there was the whole vaccine thing and the whole thing with the different strains that were out there. And he was talking about that and all the numbers, one way or the other. He has since totally turned his opinion on the vaccine, first of all, which we're finding out now is not a vaccine at all. But the whole thing of the... Now, whether or not you got the vaccine or not, that's neither here nor there. I'm not talking about that at all. I think you've been hoodwinked into thinking that it was a good thing and that it stopped anything. I know supposedly it did slow down the rate of death. However, here's the problem with that. The studies that have come out since then and all the science that has come out since then and all this, of course, they had time to do some studies now. There's something called activated vitamin D. It's a Celestial, is that what it is? I don't know. I can't remember the name of it. There's a specific name for it. Usually just referred to as activated vitamin D. When you take vitamin D, of course, it works with the sun to create vitamin D. And of course, the vitamin D goes into your system, your liver processes it. It's closer to a hormone than it is a vitamin. But it's and of course, I'm not a doctor. I'm not an anesthesiologist. I'm not a rodeo clown. But the whole point is, when you create vitamin D, it goes into your system, your liver processes it, your guttural system processes vitamin D. It takes several days for it to actually become a thing in your body, or before it starts to actually become activated in your system. Your body breaks it down, does its thing, metabolizes it, does all this, and it actually becomes active in your body. And it's actually a huge thing for bone health as well as marrow health. And the biggest thing it does for you is immunity, believe it or not. Everybody always thought vitamin C was the big immunity thing. That's not. Vitamin D actually has a bigger part to play in your immune system than we realized initially, or that we've been told. And because of this, they have determined that ivermectin, if caught early, let's say somebody walked in, because this was the problem. When you got COVID, they just basically sent you home. Didn't say that nobody was giving us any instructions on take Tylenol, take, you know, Sudafed. They didn't say anything about what you should take for this thing. Nothing. Send you home, check your symptoms, keep testing yourself, and if you get worse, come in. Oh, that's great. Then we were told that, of course, the vaccine was better than natural immunity. So some people were touting. Which that wasn't the case at all, now that we realize that. It's never been the case, by the way, with any disease. Natural immunity is, that's what vaccines used to be based on. They used to take part of you would have a very tiny amount of the virus itself would be metabolized in the vaccine, give your body a chance to fight it off and create its own antibodies. That was the vaccine. Now you have antibodies producing in your body the rest of your life or whatever. That's the way vaccines used to be considered workable. It's not the way it was with this thing. It became more of a therapeutic, which is fine. If you want to call it that, that's great. It's not a vaccine. They had to change the definition. They literally had to change the definition of vaccine in the Webster Dictionary for people, because people were looking it up and saying, well, this is what a vaccine is, and that's not what this is. And so people, they had to change the definition. Of course, it's easy to do when the dictionary is online. You just go in and retype it. It's the problem with electronic Bibles, in my opinion. Things can change and you wouldn't even know it. So we have, all this stuff was going on. The fact is, they've now made determinations that probably, respirators probably killed more people than they helped. The thing that would have probably saved more lives than respirators was activated vitamin D and ivermectin immediately upon people getting COVID. Now, these are more people who are high risk, people who have diabetes, people who are overweight, who have comorbidities, they call that, anything else that's causing them to have a weak immune system. That would have done more for them. You'll still run into problems with saying this to some doctors and some medical professionals now, but these are absolute studies. I'm not going to provide links or anything to them. All I can say is just go out and do research on it. Just go out and find it yourself. They're out there, peer reviewed stuff. There's all kinds of interviews now from virologists that are not Anthony Fauci, who was probably going to end up in jail for what he did. There's a reason he got a pardon back to 2014. Well before COVID. He got this pardon that went back that far. Look into it. Look at what he was doing back in 2014. This guy should be in prison. This guy is worse than Mengele. And yet he was the left's little...
I'm science. I'm science. If you're arguing with me, I'm science.
He was their star child. There were just it was just ridiculous the way they fawned over this guy. He was the savior of the world. And of course, I brought my puppy down here with me. Got him on a leash. And apparently he sees the cat now. And of course, now the other dog's barking upstairs. So now this dog thinks that he's got to do something with that. So I don't know what we're doing now. No, this isn't going to work. We'll just have to see how this works. The struggle that I have with this is that the left is not presenting any other options. They're not presenting any other solutions to this whole thing. How in the world the Democrats and the left have become this? They are the party now of big government, of controlling government, the all-powerful, because what it really boils down to, and the people that I've seen that have gone off the deep end, Christian friends of mine who've gone off the deep side of this whole thing, they consider themselves to be believers. They are the people who, in my opinion, have almost practically left the faith. They have nothing good to say about their Christian friends. They think they're just all a bunch of right-wing religious bigots. They won't say it on social media, but that's the theory that's coming through them. Most of them don't attend church anymore. If they do, it's a social justice church. The majority of them don't attend at all. And they used to be very strong believers, at least I thought, going to a very Bible-believing church. My point there is that it's almost as if the government has become the replacement for that. The social ideology has become the new morality. It's a phony reality. I call it a faux reality, a faux morality. It is a faux reality. It's this artificial morality that they've created. That's exactly what I was talking about AI yesterday. That's exactly what's going to be embedded into the algorithm of artificial intelligence. It's not going to have a biblical standard. And in fact, what Jesus taught about biblical morality and biblical standards is actually almost impossible to program into a machine, because there has to be a human element in order to carry it out. In order to do that. Because a human can be embodied, can be indwelled by the Holy Spirit, and a machine cannot. Sure, what my dog is chewing on. Hopefully it's something that not important. But the problem is there's no solution from the left. How are we going to root out billions of dollars, billions and billions of dollars? Carl, those of you, that's a reference to Carl Sagan for those of you. Billions of dollars of fraud, waste, and corruption in our government. How are we going? What's their solution for this issue, for this problem? They have none. They have no solution. And I guess that's all I have to say about it. It blows my mind that they just continue to just rant and have these tizzy fits. Now, I do want to, last thing I want to cover is this whole thing of this programming. And I'm going to be looking into this. My show is going to be about this tomorrow. It is very possible that this whole idea that there are people who are 150 years old or even 300 years old have been found to be on the recipient list of the Social Security program. And I don't know if this is the case or not. I know that there's a lot of misinformation out there. Tomorrow's going to be talked mostly about disinformation and the disinformation campaign. That's what I was kind of talk about today, but it's going to be about tomorrow because it's just been too long. But the point here is that the where was I going with all that? I need another sip of chai. That's good chai. I'm going to do some research on this whole coding system thing. They claim that this coding system is based on the meter system that started in 1875 or some ridiculous thing. It automatically comes out. It doesn't come out with a zero. It doesn't come out with certain dates of people signing up for Social Security. It defaults back to 1875 or something. Now, keep in mind, Social Security didn't exist in 1875, so I don't know what that has to do with it. I think Social Security is actually put in place in 1963, if I remember right. I'm not positive of that. It was sometime around there. I know it was right around the time I was born. So, I'm pretty sure, because they did it for me, basically. So they could take money from me all for the rest of my life. I don't know. It seems like that was about the time it started. So I don't know what this coding thing has to do with people back in 1875. It's ridiculous to me that they would have used a coding system like that for Social Security. Now, maybe they did, but we'll go into this more tomorrow in detail because I think it's worth getting into. And I want to find out myself if this is the case, if what they're saying here is true. Now, let me just go back and see if I can find what happened. There we go. I'm sure there'll be a post here if I just pull up Facebook. I'm sure it'll be right here on top of the feed here. I guess I haven't said it, the current administration's policies are such a terrorist. Massive government layoffs will lead to higher inflation, higher unemployment, and a lower standard of living for the average American. Bull! It will not. If you think I'm wrong, instead of arguing, let's see what was right about it. This is the typical thing. Somebody throws a hand grenade in the room, and this is what they do. In case I haven't said it, the current administration's policies, such as tariffs, isolationism, and isolationism is not a part of what we're doing. Massive government layoffs does not cost the American people any more money. Giving them unemployment is not going to cost us any more money. They're going to go out and get jobs. And they're going to contribute to productive society rather than being a burden on society. Massive government layoffs will lead to higher inflation, higher unemployment, and a lower standard of living for the average American. Where were you yelling at us when we were getting inflation rates of over 20% within less than a year? Where was your concern for the average American then? First of all, I don't mean to just say tit for tat stuff here, but the hypocrisy is what I'm pointing out. Now, then the final statement here is, if you think I'm wrong, instead of arguing now, let's see if I'm right each year until they're gone. Really? So we're supposed to wait a year and remember that you posted this and then come back and challenge you with it. I'm tempted. You know what? I'm going to take a screenshot of this. And of course, if there's any kind of another COVID outbreak or something like that happens, I guarantee you what's going to happen with that. I'm taking a screenshot of this. I am going to challenge this guy a year from now. I'm going to post it on his page. Unless we're all dead, of course, because, orange man bad. Let's see. This is the first response. Can you honestly say now that you still believe Joe was fit for duty during his 4 years? He comes back and says, I can honestly say that he was more fit for all 4 years than Trump has ever been. Oh, my word. This, again, is someone I used to go to church with. This is a person who, when confronted, they asked me, one of the questions they asked a few years ago, this was back in 2016, the 2016 election, they said, is there anyone else out there? And I've been looking into the Libertarian Party. My first comment to them was, they believe in abortion. They're okay with abortion. They snapped back at me, him and his wife, both, snapped back at me, saying, I'm tired of being one issue candidate. Well, a child is not an issue, first of all. A child is a human life. That basis alone tells me who I'm going to vote for. If you want to be for the party, it gives you everything you ever wanted, but they're going to kill babies to do it. You can go somewhere else. I will defend that with my dying breath. It is fascinating to me. Well, here we go. The firings come amid an existing shortage of air traffic controllers and staff challenges. Trump begins firings of FAA traffic control staff amid aviation safety concerns. No, that is not what's happening. Of course, they're showing an airplane taking off with a crane in the background on the Potomac. This is, folks, I am heavily invested, heavily involved, heavily knowledgeable of what's going on in the aviation industry. Of that, I will consider myself a quasi somewhat expert. It has nothing to do with what's been happening with our accidents lately. Nothing to do with it. The fact that one of the controllers in D.C. at Reagan National was sent home about an hour prior to the accident there has nothing to do with a pilot screwing up. The helicopter pilot screwed up. It sounds like she was a wonderful individual, well-decorated, high achiever, well-loved by her peers. She screwed up. She had an accident. She made a mistake. It happens. The accident that happened in Toronto had nothing to do with the Trump administration or anything that they're doing with cuts. Nothing. It was an American airline. Not American. It was a Delta airline, American-owned company, in a foreign country landing in an international airport, Toronto. Had nothing to do with the controller. Nothing to do with the FAA, in fact, from their standpoint of the whole thing. So don't tell me that it's Trump's cuts that are causing any of these accidents. None of that has happened. And yet these people are jumping in with all this stuff. It just blows my mind. This is WESH.com, WESH. So it's apparently a news organization of some kind. I don't know. Just all these aviation experts are jumping in here saying all kinds of things. But I want to continue to go on back to the where is it at here? It's got to be here somewhere. Who is that? Oh, wow. Those people are not looking so young anymore. Wow. Maybe I'm not looking so young anymore either. They're just a few years older than me. All right. I want to continue to go on here. Where is it at? This is... I'm gonna try to find. I'm just gonna have to go to this person's directly to a person. Where's my search thing? There it is. Because I know it's here somewhere. Well, what happened to that? There it is. This lady had posted this recently. Here it is. That's not it. The whole COBOL programming thing. Everybody's posting the same one. There's a picture of Trump embedded with Hitler, of course. It's all the same stuff. It's here and it's not here. What happens? Nope, that's not it. Of course, they're all talking about the contract that Tesla got for armored vehicles for the military, which was actually approved by Congress last year and signed off by Biden in December, a month after the election. And Trump had nothing to do with it, but they're claiming corruption and all kinds of weird things on that one. All right, so that's not on here. I know that there is one here. I know this other lady did this. Yeah, oh, there it is. I just misspelled it. There it is. I know this person did. Posted it. Oh, yeah, of course, then they're posting all their drinking habits. Don't judge. I've been awake since yesterday morning, and this is the first time I was having a beer. Okay, well, that's great. Only you can prevent. Seriously, we've been funded just now. It's just you now. Whatever. Trump never found any fraud or inefficiencies in the government during his first term. Bull! That's not true either. What? He was, of course, he was too busy fighting off the impeachment. They kept him busy doing it. Can you imagine if people actually got behind the what is this? Day in the life of a Republican, whatever. Here it is. This is it. It looks like Elon Musk's genius coders don't know how COBOL works. COBOL. Social Security runs on COBOL. Now, this person who's posted this is, and of course, it's not her. It's somebody else that posted this. She just took a screenshot of it. Which does not use a date or time type. So the date is stored as a number using the ISO 860001 standard. The epoch for this is 150 years ago, 1875, aka the meter standard. So if you don't know the date of something, it will be a zero value. So why don't we know the date? Somebody's in the Social Security program, we should know the date, shouldn't we? Which in COBOL will default to 1875, 150 years old, years ago. Now, here's the problem. There are people who were older than 150 years. How do you explain that? There's some up to 300 years old. How do you explain that? Musk says there's no people over 150 years old collecting social. There's people over 150. Yeah, breaking. Musk says there's people over 150 years old collecting Social Security. Over 150 years old. There are millions of them. So this 1875 thing doesn't explain it. Which I have to look into this. This to me looks like social disinformation. And the reason I'm saying that, and the biggest reason I'm saying is, if this was the case, you'd be hearing this on MSNBC and CNN all day and all night. They are not covering it, and there's a reason for that. When this kind of stuff comes out, they won't say anything about it against it. But they won't say anything about it positively if they're not sure of it, if they can't verify it. And I don't think this is verified at all. That's all I'm going to say about it. I know I've gone well over, and I have to say my puppy is doing a very good job down here at my feet. I've got him on a leash. He's laying here by my feet. He just wants to be with me. It's the only reason he's been barking upstairs. And so this is working out much better. I don't know if it's spoiling him or not. I'm not sure if it's the problem. He needs to learn how to be by himself for a little while. But to his credit, he hasn't had a chance to go out and really burn off much energy. It's been so cold, we can't hardly let him out very long. And so that's been kind of a problem. But I'm going to take him to the dog park here a little bit, and we're going to be playing a frisbee for quite some time, getting some energy burned out of him because he's still growing. Anyway, that's all I've got to say about that. Tomorrow's show, we're going to be basically talking about disinformation and actually counter disinformation. and how the whole war is fought. I do have some clips on this. I've already saved some clips on some of the interviews that I've heard from some actual credible sources on how the government does this kind of stuff. And so we're going to be talking about that as well as some of the past historical data on disinformation, misinformation, and how they weaponize it to use for their own, you know. And again, the end justifies the means with these people. That's what they're all about. Sorry the show took a little bit longer than normal today, but that's, you know, there's a whole lot of information. Folks, thanks again for listening, for praying for our nation. The rest of the week, I will be here tomorrow and Friday. God bless. Have a great rest of your week.